Today, we're going to be talking about a hot-button topic on principles and policies. Welcome to today's edition of Principles and Policies. I'm your host, Executive Director of the Institute for Principle and Policy, Barry Sheets. And along with me today is our Vice Chairman, Chuck Michaels.
Well, I'm looking forward to shedding some light on matters where there's been a lot more heat generated, but we seem to be standing very much in the dark on.
Chuck, if you've been with us this week, you know we're talking about the three state ballot issues that you as a voter here in the state of Ohio will be seeing on your ballot when you go to the polls on Tuesday, November the 8th. For the last couple of days, we talked about issue one. Today, we're going to turn our focus to state issue two. Now, state issue two is a referendum. Now, a referendum is an action by which citizens can, if they choose to do so by voting at the polls, overturn a law passed by our legislature. It's the companion to an initiative, and many of you are familiar with the initiative, and that's where if you want a law passed, you can go and collect signatures and bring your language to the ballot directly to the voters if the legislature won't do anything about it. So you can do either an initiative in Ohio or a referendum. Well, issue two is a referendum. You see, earlier in this year, the Ohio legislature passed what is known as amended substitute Senate Bill number 5. And that's a whole big mouthful. We just call it SB5 for short. SB5 was a bill that we're going to be unpacking a little bit for you over the next couple of days. But in short, it was to revise the laws related to public employee collective bargaining. For the last 28 years in the state of Ohio, Ohio has been a state that allows public employees to unionize and then to bargain collectively for wages, benefits, working conditions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So really, that hasn't been something that's been a fixture in Ohio government service for a horribly long time, not even a full generation yet.
Yeah, I think 1983, I believe, was the date that I saw.
Yeah, I think it was it's 28 years or something of that nature altogether. But basically, the legislature, and honestly, this was, let's just say it clearly, the Republican legislature, because I don't believe this got a single Democrat vote in either the House or the Senate when this bill came through. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because there were a lot of bills that were passed by right. Democrat legislatures under the Vern Reif era that never had a single Republican vote. But the whole point is that this piece of legislation was to say, we have an economic crisis in the state of Ohio. We have a number of our communities that are in fiscal distress. Some of them are in fiscal emergency. And potentially, if things keep going the way they are in our national economy, we may have cities in Ohio that are just as Harrisburg, Pennsylvania just did here about a week and a half ago.
And Pittsburgh is on the verge of.
Pittsburgh's on the verge. And that is declaring bankruptcy. That means that they don't have the revenues coming in to pay all of the obligations that they have as a city. Now, who has to bail them out when that happens? Well, it's you and me, the taxpayer. It's our money to start with. And really, Chuck, that's where I want to start today with this issue. I want people to understand clearly when we're talking about public employers and public employees, we're talking about two sides of a coin. Now, the problem is that coin is our tax dollars. We, the people, pay taxes. And you'll hear from the folks who support this referendum that, well, we pay taxes too. That's where I got to stop them. Because as a government employee of whatever stripe it is, whether it's a local municipal employee, if it's a teacher, or if it's a state government employee, the point is your salary is paid for by my taxes. Because I'm not a government employee, and I go out into the private sector, and I earn a living, and I pay taxes, local property taxes, local levies, I pay sales taxes, I pay income taxes, and sometimes you pay school district income taxes, depending on which jurisdiction you live in this state. The point is, all those monies are what is used to pay the salaries of public employees. So when they say, well, we pay our taxes too, okay, yeah, you remit back in to go back into the mix money that was paid in by somebody else to start with.
If you weren't there, the money wouldn't come out of our pockets in the first place.
That's right. And if we weren't here, you wouldn't have the money to be putting in for the taxes, because that's how our public system works. Public systems, government systems, survive on tax revenues, whether they call them sales taxes, use taxes. I don't care if they call them fees. They can call them fees. They can call them
user fees,
whatever it is. But the point is, so let's get rid of that. I want to get that off the plate right now. That's not even an argument. That's one of those red herrings.
Right.
What we need to get down to is it's two sides of the same coin. The public employers who are crying they don't have enough money to pay contracts, and the public employees who are crying that that their contract power shouldn't be abrogated, are both utilizing the same resources, mine and yours, as non-public taxpayers.
And we're the third leg of the triangle.
We're the third leg of the triangle.
Saying to both sides, there is no more money. You can't squeeze blood out of a rock.
That's right. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as many of us, and as myself, we know we have folks on both sides of this issue. I mean, I have family members who are policemen, who are firefighters, who worked in state government at whatever level. Even for a time, I worked in state government. So I'm not necessarily immune to the concerns that folks are raising who actually want to have this law repealed. But I'm also a taxpayer. I'm also a private sector laborer. I own my own business, so therefore I'm an entrepreneur. I understand the ever-increasing and escalating cost of government contracts upon me as a taxpayer. So I have to balance those things off. We all have to make sacrifices. You know, we know that right now we're in an economic situation in this country at the federal, state, and local levels, which is probably all but untenable at this point. And some radical changes have to be made. Now, you and I, when we live outside our budget, we can't go back to, most of the time, you can't go back to your creditors and say, hey, I want to renegotiate for better terms for myself. It just doesn't happen most of the time.
No.
You know, if you get into business trouble, you can't go back and say, hey, I want to call a mulligan and want to start all over again.
Well, I'm in a business where I'm in competition with other suppliers. And the fact is that people just say, well, you need to raise your prices if you're not making enough money, you're not doing well enough, not making enough profit. And I'm like, it's not that easy. If I'm making the best product in the world, somebody will say, you know, I can make the same thing for less money.
Yeah, exactly. And that's what free market economics is all about.
Exactly.
And that is having that competition, which helps drive down prices, which helps we, the consumers, the taxpayers, to be able to have more of our hard-earned money to be able to spend on things that will benefit our economy, whether that's consumer goods, whether that's saving for our children for college, whether that's just setting aside for a rainy day or for retirement. Those are decisions that we need to be making. But what's happening in many instances is other people are making decisions that we pay for that we have no say in because of the way the current system works. But yet we're the ones who they come to the pocketbook for to get the pay to make good the promises they made in these agreements and these contracts.
And the bottom line is you can play this rhetorical game of let's tax the rich, let's tax the corporations, let's tax, you know, tax you, tax me, tax that guy over there under the tree. And the fact is that there just isn't enough money to tax to pay for the things that supposedly are absolutely necessary in government. And really, where were they 30 years ago? Gosh, a whole bunch of these things we never had, and things operated very well.
Well, and that's true. But just to go right into the issue, when you go to the ballot, you're going to see issue two, and it's going to say referendum. I'm reading you the ballot language as it's prepared on the Secretary of State's website. And this is what you're going to see when you go to the polls. Issue two, referendum. Referendum on new law relative to government union contracts and other government employment contracts and policies, all in bold print. And then it goes down and says, a majority yes vote is necessary for amended Substitute Senate Bill number 5 to be approved. Amended Substitute Senate Bill number 5 is a new law relative to government union contracts and other government employment contracts and policies. A yes vote means you approve the law. A no vote means you reject the law. Then the question is asked, shall the law be approved? And it's a yes to approve or a no to reject. And that's what a referendum is all about. Our officials pass the law. They put it to then the and the, what happened was it was the public sector unions who came together and they collected signatures to put this to a referendum. They submitted them. They did all the procedures that they needed to do under the Ohio Constitution, and everything checked out. And now this is before us as to whether or not the voting public of the state of Ohio is going to allow the law to stand, or if it's going to repeal the law and keep it from going into effect. Now, there are, again, just as anything else, there are arguments both for and against issue two. And if you go to the Secretary of State's website, you can find the official arguments both for and against. Now, the four arguments were prepared by legislators. They were prepared
Let's give them the address again. SOS.
It's when you go to the internet, www, of course, dot SOS dot the word state, STATE dot OH.us. And you go there, that pulls up the Secretary of State's homepage. You click on ballot issues or elections and go to the state issues, state ballot issues, and it will pull up and it'll have issues 1, 2, and 3 there. You can go and you can read for yourself all of these things. So I'm not going to read all of them. And honestly, the official arguments and explanations for and against is what we call propaganda. You have propaganda from those who want you to support the law and propaganda from those of you who want to repeal the law as the official arguments, because that's how the way it works. So after an issue is brought forward and it's going to go to the ballot, the Ohio Ballot Board asks both sides of the issue to appoint people to write up, and then they submit these to the ballot board, and the ballot board looks at it and says, yeah, this looks fair. They're not saying anything. It's an out-and-out lie. They're not, you know, calling the other side a bunch of dirty no-goodniks. So there you go. See, they save all that for the television commercials.
Liar, no liar, liar, pants on fire.
Yeah, that's all saved for the TV commercials, which I'm sure by now our listeners are sick to death of.
Oh, yeah.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I mean, honestly, when it gets right down to it, that's the whole problem with our electoral politics today. Those 30-second and 60-second sound bites on television, they pay millions and millions of dollars for those to get them produced, to spend them, and to buy airtime all over the state for them. But the vast majority of them probably have about 2 seconds of actual truth in them.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is all hyperbole.
Sadly.
And that's on both sides of the issue.
Yeah. Sadly, the ones I'm most familiar with, because let's face it, the pro issue too, people aren't running that many advertisements.
That's true.
Most of them are against. And the fact is that some of the things I've heard stated are simply, well, I'm trying to be diplomatic, but they're lies.
And there have been complaints that have been filed from both sides to the Ohio Elections Commission, which is a panel which determines whether or not people in their political ads and their political attacks and their political support pieces are telling you the truth or they're bold-faced lying to you. So probably some of those issues won't even get worked out before the election. Some of them might, but most of them won't. But even so, ladies and gentlemen, if you're basically going to go vote based on 30 and 60 second sound bites on a TV commercial that's paid for by people who have a propaganda interest in one side or the other, you're doing yourself and me as a fellow citizen a grave disservice.
That's right.
That's what you need to go and you need to research these things. Now, one of the things that Chuck and I have done, we didn't go just to the language for and against because we realized, yeah, that's propaganda. What we did do is go and look at the actual legislative summary, which is crafted by attorneys who are nonpartisan. It's called the Legislative Service Commission. They are responsible. They're attorneys at the state legislature who are responsible. They don't have any party affiliation. They're not basically, when the R's take over, then they change all the people up, or the D's take over. They're the same people. They've been there for 20, 30 years, many of them. They are responsible as attorneys and researchers to look at this, to see how these changes to law affect the laws and how they fit in, if they're new, if it's new language. And they write up what is called a bill analysis. Now, an analysis is a summary of all of the effective things that the changes that a legislative enactment does to current law. This statute, Senate Bill 5, the bill analysis, the shorthand version, is 54 pages long. Tomorrow, we're going to be discussing what's in the bill analysis of Senate Bill 5 and let you, the voter, determine for yourself if you think these things are worth supporting or should be overturned. So stick with us tomorrow as we delve into a little bit deeper in the background of Issue 2, Senate Bill 5.
See you tomorrow at 5:30.